Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
On July 8, 1922, a young man about to turn 21 years old arrived in Chicago by train from New Orleans. He rode the Illinois Central Railroad from the Crescent City to the Windy City, the end of the line being Central Station at Roosevelt Road and Michigan Avenue, very near where we're standing. The young man came here with next to nothing, holding on to one precious item, his trumpet. His name was Louis Armstrong. His musical genius and his arrival here would change the course of music in America, and that impact would eventually be felt around the world. Armstrong's journey to Chicago was one that countless African Americans took from the southern United States in the early 20th century, a journey now called the Great Migration. Armstrong's career and life, as well as that of two other great American musicians, Duke Ellington and Count Basie, are the basis for a book called The Jazz Men by veteran journalist Larry Tye. We were pleased to have met and talked with Larry, who recounted Armstrong's arrival here, why he came here, and the people that guided him to where he needed to be.
It was New Orleans' loss that Louis left there, and he went with his fish sandwich and with his suitcase and ended up at the train station and wasn't quite sure where he was going when he got there, but he did something that ended up being prophetic, which is he asked a porter, and the porters told him where King Oliver was, and he went there, and not only did he get to connect again with his pal King Oliver from New Orleans, he got to connect with a woman who became his second wife and who helped launch his career here.
Ty refers to King Oliver, another trumpet player and bandleader who came to Chicago from New Orleans. His band played regularly at clubs on Chicago's South Side, and when Oliver invited Armstrong to come here, he couldn't say no. Ty also mentioned a porter who told Armstrong where to find Oliver. He's speaking of the Pullman porters, African-American men who worked for Chicago's Pullman Rail Company on passenger trains that crisscrossed the country.
They worked on the railroad from the end of the Civil War, and many of them were ex-slaves until the 1960s when train travel fizzled. And anything that you needed on a long cross-country trip, from having your shoes shined, to having your bed made, to having in the middle of the night your pants patched, the Pullman porters were there to take care of you.
A number of those porters found homes in Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood. So did Louis Armstrong and the woman Larry mentioned, Lillian Hardin, better known as Lil, who came to Chicago from Memphis. She was a piano player who eventually became part of Armstrong's groups and married him in 1924. The two bought a home where we happen to be, on East 44th Street, now a private residence. A block or two away is Armstrong Park, the full name of which is Armstrong Lillian Hardin Park. On East 35th Street, Louis, Lil, and bandmates played innumerable nights at a club at 35th and Calumet, known as the Sunset Cafe. It was later renamed the Grand Terrace Cafe, and in the 1930s, a young Count Basie played there also. The building still stands, and a plaque designates the site and its significance.
Armstrong and Lil eventually formed their own groups, known as the Hot Five and Hot Seven, depending on how many players were in the band. With their popularity came the opportunity to record. And as Larry Tye puts it, the studio in those early days of recording wasn't anything elaborate at all.
It was in a portable studio that was about the size of a shoebox in the loop that he created these extraordinary records. And he was known at the time as Little Louis Armstrong, even though he was anything but. And it was Chicago's good luck and Louis's good luck, but I'm convinced really it wasn't a matter of luck. All the ingredients were here for Chicago to be the launch pad. It had great music, it had great black community, a very supportive community here. It had great churches that Louis could go to and hear gospel and hear other church music. And it was, I think, as much as New Orleans and maybe more, as much as New York or Kansas City, Chicago is the birthplace of jazz in America.
Armstrong and Friends recorded for a label named OK, owned and operated by the Consolidated Talking Machine Company. Their studio was located where we're standing, in the 200 block of West Washington Street, near the intersection of Washington and Franklin. The structure has long since been demolished, and a modern-day multi-story building now stands taking up the block. There's no marker here designating the location where some of the most groundbreaking jazz recordings ever made took place nearly a century ago. Perhaps there should be.
Larry Tye's book goes beyond the way in which Armstrong and his contemporaries, Duke Ellington and Count Basie, rose to fame. In fact, the full title of the book focuses on the way in which they transformed America, going beyond music and connecting with civil rights. Ty gave us a reason for that.
I want to tell you what I mean by transforming America. There are two different levels of it. On one level, I think they were opening America's ears and souls to the magnificence of their melodies and essentially convincing anybody who was paying attention that if blacks could produce music like that, they must be geniuses and they deserve a kind of humanity. And it was not just on that level of their music, but in terms of their actual activities, they were out there doing things that Martin Luther King, in a little notice speech that he gave in Berlin, talked about the fact that he could not have moved ahead with his movement and could not have done things like integrating the schools if the way hadn't been paved by the music of these black geniuses.
The music and artistry of these three greats has not been lost on those that came after them. Trumpeters today often readily acknowledge Louis Armstrong. As Larry put it,
two things came out of his trumpet. One was sounds that nobody had ever had and high notes, and the other was his heart. It was essentially, we were watching his heart come out of the bell of his trumpet. So what I would like to have readers do is agree with me after they finish the book that I could legitimately call it How These Jazz Men Transformed America. That is a big claim to make, and it is a claim that I believe in the core of my being that their life stories, whether I told it well enough to convince readers or not, that their life stories really were about more than transforming music. It was changing the country, and that is what they wanted to do, and that is what they did.
Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, and Count Basie are regarded as some of the greatest musical figures of the 20th century. Ellington's last full concert took place a couple months before his death in 1974 at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb. Count Basie made appearances in and around Chicago not long before his death in 1984. The bands these men led have deeply influenced today's ensembles and bands like the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, directed by Wynton Marsalis. And don't forget Stevie Wonder's song, Sir Duke, on his classic 1970s album, Songs in the Key of Life. Sir Duke, of course, is Duke Ellington, and Wonder also mentions Armstrong and Basie by name. All three of these great men left their mark on Chicago, the nation, and the world. As Larry Tye's book says, they transformed America. Dave Schwann, WGN News.